Good morning, or afternoon. No, morning.
Hello.
How are you guys? Welcome to Visual Studio Tips and Tricks. I hope you are here to learn. I hope you're here to learn how to have more fun with Visual Studio because that's where you live in your daily basis. If you're in Visual Studio a lot, this is the talk for you. So my name is Scott Kate. And this is my friend Dustin.
Hi.
We have different roles in lives. Dustin actually works for Microsoft, and I am a developer. I own a little software company, and we do conference management software, and I write code. I am like you, and I'm in Visual Studio probably 30 of the 60 hours a week that I work. So
really?
I like the tips and tricks and shortcuts and keyboard shortcuts, et cetera. And Dustin has a different point of view on Visual Studio.
Right. So Scott said, I work for Microsoft. I work on the C-sharp and Visual Basic teams. I'm a managed languages team. I'm actually responsible for the editing experience for C-sharp and Visual Basic. So things like IntelliSense and all those kinds of features that happen in the editor. Those are the things that I work on from a day-to-day. And I spend my time in code as well, Scott. So,
he spends his time answering questions for me. Can Visual Studio do this? Is there an undocumented feature that we don't know about? In fact, I was trying to bind a keyboard shortcut to something I'll show you a little bit later, and I now know, because Dustin looked in the source code, it can't be done. So I found a little nook and cranny of Visual Studio. So Dustin, why don't you walk them through how we are going to set up a key with our lay of the land.
All right. So we're actually, this talk is going to go pretty fast. We'll slow it down a bit, but because in North America we might go much faster, but understand that we want to slow things down so you guys can get the most out of most understanding out of this talk. And so we are going to go fast, though, in the sense that we're going to throw a lot of keyboard shortcuts at you. The key to productivity in Visual Studio is to use the keyboard and really drive it from the keyboard. And so we're going to give you a lot of shortcuts. And I just want to, really draw your attention to the fact that they will be in the slides. So if you missed a shortcut, you can ask us to repeat it if you like, but they'll also be in the slides, and you can download those slides and get all the shortcuts after the talk. We are using Visual Studio 2012. We are not using Visual Studio 2013, if you were hoping to see that.
Was anybody expecting to see 2013? A couple of you?
Okay, so we're not going to show 2013. We want to give you tips, shortcuts, things that you can use that are actionable for you today. That's going to help you in your jobs right now, and this is sort of the key up here that's this legend that'll show you, that will appear next to the shortcuts, telling you which version of Visual Studio the shortcut started appearing in, going back to Visual Studio 2005. How many people are still in Visual Studio 2005? Anyone? Okay, one person has dared to raise their hand and admit that they're still in 2005. That's okay. And there are still shortcuts. There are still tips here for you if you are still using an older version of Visual Studio. You don't
have to be on the list. Is anybody still using Visual Interdev? See, I got you guys. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah.
Some of you know, some of you yes. Okay.
That's a long time ago, man.
These shortcuts may or may not work in Visual Interdev. But the nice thing up there with Visual Studio 2005 means that that feature was present in Visual Studio 2005 moving forward. So it's not only that feature, it's
right.
All the features. So if you were interested in the 2013, Dustin and I are working the Visual Studio booth in the Expo Hall. There is a virtual machine with 2013 installed there, so if you'd like to poke around, you can. And almost all of the tips, in fact, I don't know that there are any that we're going to show today that aren't compatible with the version 2013.
Nope, they're all there.
So let's move into the first slide. The format of this talk is going to be overview on the slide, and then I'm going to actually just jump into Visual Studio and show you some of these features. Now, some of them are very basic, and some of them are a little bit deeper. And so I'll just kind of flip over to my machine. I have a open source project called Notatime from Mr. Skeet that just has a lot of source code that I could show up on the screen, which we can use to navigate through. So the first thing I want to start with is something called the Start page, which is on the View menu. It's also the first thing you see when you open Visual Studio. And we've enhanced this, particularly if you're a consultant. How many of you go to different offices to work on different jobs? Sometimes you don't want other people's project files showing up. And prior to Visual Studio 2010, it was pretty difficult to get rid of these. Now there's this little right click that you can simply remove from the list. I probably have 20 different projects, either native projects or customer projects that I'm working on. Some I've pinned. So in this particular example, you can see that I have pinned the Notatime project so that it's simply always available. I can open that no matter how many other projects I've loaded in the meantime. So we have the ability to close this page as well. After you open a project, that will actually speed up your Visual Studio load time if you decide to not even show it at all. Because this news feed that's being displayed comes from the network. And a lot of times what you do is you get to work, you turn your machine on, and the very first thing you do is open Visual Studio. Now we've got to connect to the network, go through, get the RSS feed, paint it back. So if you're looking to speed up your Visual Studio experience, a tiny little performance feature there is to simply not show the start page. Deviating slightly from Visual Studio, I'd like to show you some Windows 7 and Windows 8 keyboard shortcuts. So these are not unique to Visual Studio, but as a fellow developer, you'll appreciate these shortcuts if you don't already have them memorized. So as Dustin said, we do a lot of keyboard shortcuts. How many of you are keyboard addicts? No mouse. The whole goal is no mouse, right? If you're using your mouse, it's too slow. You can become a better developer by learning the keyboard shortcuts. And then when you do a code review with somebody else and you watch them develop with the mouse, you're like, da, 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 come on, come on, come on. It's very slow to watch somebody else click, click, especially debugging. Next, next, next. You're like, do you guys know what I'm talking about where you have to do those reviews or if you're on screen share with somebody else? So with Windows 7 and Windows 8, you have a Windows key. And in correlation with the index item, one-based, so 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, you can activate icons. So you notice my Visual Studio is item number 2. And if I do Windows 2, it will alternate between Visual Studio. So Windows 2, we'll see, it's like Alt-Tab just for that item. So that's pretty easy, but there's more. What about the right-click? If you do Windows Alt 2, you'll get the pop-up menu, and now you can go right to a project. So you can get to a specific project, and this works everywhere. So if I do Windows Alt 3, now I have the pop-up for my notepad.
And just kind of an aside, I will actually, on my Visual Studio, close down that start page so it doesn't show up, and I'll just start Visual Studio like this, right? I'll bring up the jump list, I'll have pinned projects here, and I'll just open it with a project and never see the start page at all. That's something I choose to do.
So you can also start a new instance. So if I do Windows 3 for Notepad, and then Windows 3 will toggle between it. If you do Windows Shift 3, it will open a new instance of that item. And now if you do the sorry, I forgot which one this is. Toggle between instances, Windows N, or Windows 3, sorry. You can actually now have like a private control tab or alt tab between the applications, but only for that scope. So it's a very quick way. And then, of course, Windows Alt 3, you're going to go up and simply close all windows, and that'll close all of the instances. My last one on that is running a program as administrator, but from the keyboard. So sometimes if you need to edit a file that you need administrative privileges for, I might need to open Notepad, but I'll do that as an administrator. So you can do that with Windows Control Shift 3. So Windows Control Shift 3, now I'll get a prompt, yes, I want to open that as admin, And now you can see I'm running as that app as an administrator. So I know that's a little deviation from Visual Studio. Dustin's actually going to get into some tips and tricks on actually inside the Visual Studio, but I still feel like as the developer, those keyboard shortcuts are handy to be able to run some things. So let's get back to the PowerPoint for just a moment.
And my favorite of those, actually, let me just pop it back really quickly. My favorite of those is the one that says show jump list right there in the middle, that Win Alt plus N, N being the one base number representing the item on the taskbar. That's fantastic for opening up Visual Studio. I love that.
Remember, that's not zero-based. So
that's zero-based. It's one-based.
One-based.
One-based, like Visual Basic. Right. All right. So simplification. Let's actually flip over to my laptop. So we really took as, in Visual Studio 2012, we really invested in this notion of simplification of the IDE. It's gotten very complicated over the years. And so we wanted to spend some time. First of all, we did a big UX refresh that was semi-popular, perhaps not popular at first, and has gained momentum.
It's uppercase popular.
It's
popular in all uppercase.
I think we landed in a pretty good place, except for that menu up there, which still gets a lot of a lot of heat. Who likes the all caps menu?
Who doesn't care?
Like four people. Yeah.
Everyone
who doesn't
else?
Care? Okay. And then who really doesn't like it? Okay. Yeah. That's what I expected. Okay. But in doing this UX refresh, we did try to simplify the user experience around Visual Studio quite a bit. One of the key things is that toolbar, that first toolbar that you see right there. Let me just kind of zoom in. This used to have a couple of dozen items on it, right? And we found looking at kind of the customer experience program, when you say, yes, I will go ahead and send data to Microsoft about my usage, and we look at that usage, we saw that the majority of those commands, those buttons on that toolbar, weren't actually used very often. And so it was just kind of taking up space. And so we spent some time rethinking this and thinking about what are the things that people do the most and simplify that toolbar down. We took one command that we knew that people kept asking for but was already there, which are the navigation buttons here at the very left. Those two buttons, sort of like you see on a web browser, those were actually on the toolbar already, but they were somewhere way off to the right and nobody knew they were there. And so we put those in the left where they should be, you know, to kind of be like a browser, but now you have kind of this next and back sort of experience. And so we just spent some time thinking about this. Now, one thing that I want to point out you guys have already just told me that you really don't like the all caps. The theme in Visual Studio is customizable, okay? And I choose to go to the extension. So I go to Tools, Extensions, and Updates, and I retake my theme. Okay, so if I don't like the main menu, I search for an extension called Hide Main Menu, which is written by one of the developers on the shell. There's also one that will just turn the menu into title casing, so it just stops being all caps. Go back to the old way. But I prefer, you know, I don't actually want to see it at all, right? And so I'll download this and install it. Okay. And then one other extension that I will use to go ahead and just finish this out so I'm not installing two is the color theme editor. I liked the blue theme. Did anybody else like the blue theme from Visual Studio 2010? I kind of liked that look. And so I'll go back to it. All right, so we'll download this, install it. Now we can restart Visual Studio. And the first thing, if you look at the very top when this comes up, there is no menu. Right? So I prefer to retake those pixels, you know, and give myself one more line in the editor. And if I want to go to the menu, I just press the Alt key now. And that'll give me the menu, right? And I can press Alt and make it go away. So that's an extension to use if you want to just be done with the menu completely and also just kind of get rid of that all caps kind of look while you're developing. And then for the theme that I installed this extension that allows me to change the color themes, I do like the blue theme quite a bit. Right, and so I can kind of go back to sort of a slightly more, I guess, slightly less lined Visual Studio 2010 look. One other thing we did for Visual Studio 2012 was we introduced the dark theme. The dark theme is, I can also access it right here. right here. The dark theme is for those of you that prefer in your daily lives you associate yourselves more with Darth Vader than with Luke Skywalker. Right? So if you feel the need to, you know, internally to be a Sith Lord when you write code, the dark theme is for you.
Do you guys use that? How many of you like the dark theme?
Yeah.
A bunch of, about half of you.
Yeah, so it is definitely split, which is why we spend a bunch of time investing in this theme. So. All right.
You want to come back here?
Yes, let's go back. Okay. It's your turn.
So the next thing I want to talk about real quick is window and document management. This is great if you're looking at other people's code. It's also good for your own code, but particularly if you're doing a code review or looking at somebody else's code for the first time, maybe you're navigating through the source tree of somebody else's project. And so I want to just talk about some different ways that you can use the windowed navigation of Visual Studio that you may or may not have already known. So first, we're going to look at this new feature for pinning a document. There's a little icon here on every document as you hover over it that will let you pin that particular document. So most of the time as you're working, you'll be going in and out of 10 or 20 or 30 different files. If there's one file, like a web config file for ASP.NET or a resource file that you're always coming back to, you can simply pin it. And then once it's pinned, not only does it stay there, but you have the ability to do some other things with it. So for example, you can say, if you right-click, you can close all but pinned documents, or close all but this, or one of my favorites here is open containing folder. Visual Studio is kind of like our eyes into the programming logic, but a lot of times we need to access those files on disk. Maybe you're writing a console app and you just dumped out a JSON file, or maybe you want to open a file in some other editor. And so I use this open containing folder quite a bit. In fact, if I zoom out here, you may have remembered or noticed that inside Visual Studio, if you right-click on a folder inside Solution Explorer, you have this really nice feature called Open Folder in File Explorer. Probably everyone uses that, right? It's pretty common. What you don't have is if you right-click on a file, open in containing folder. And I actually missed that for a long time, because ultimately what I want to do is look, if my mind says I need to do something with this XML file, I'm already focused on that file, so if you right-click, it's not there. Going back up to the parent folder is kind of a drag. So inside the IDE, it's up here on the actual tab itself, open containing folder. Now, what I do with that, because I use this so frequently, is I use the quick launch here. I'll go to keyboard shortcuts. And inside keyboard shortcuts, I'll actually say open containing folder. And I bind that to Control-Alt-Shift-O. Control-Alt-Shift is a really nice way for me to do extra keyboard shortcuts, because it's all right there at the bottom left of your keyboard, and then Visual Studio doesn't use them, or I should say uses it very infrequently. So Control-Alt-Shift-O to open a file, and I'll assign that globally. And what that means is any file, anytime, anywhere, Control-Alt-Shift-O will just open my Solution Explorer right to that particular folder. So that is a nice, nice feature. How many of you have coworkers that write really long classes? All right. None of you do that, of course, but we'll blame your coworkers. Or I always say, if I'm doing a code review, which may even be looking at my own code, but if you're doing a code review, you may not know that Visual Studio has a Word-like feature called split window. Split window will let you see the same file in two different places. Now, as you split it, it shows you the same lines. But the nice thing about this is you can navigate up here, and you can navigate down here. If this is not enough because you have really long classes, this is something you want to remember, by the way. If you find yourself scroll, 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 scroll up, scroll, 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 scroll down, scroll, 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 scroll up, just split the file, and then you can see it side by side. But here's another tip. on the window menu, you have this option for new window. And watch what happens as I select that. It'll take the file that I'm on and call it number one. And here's another one, number two. So if I zoom out again, you'll see I actually have two of these side by side. But using the tear off component, I can actually tear that off, dock it to the left-hand side of the screen, and now I have three versions of that file. And in fact, this will split itself as well. And you know, this is live editing. So as I am in one window, you'll see all of them update. So if you have a really long class or even a single file with multiple classes in it and you need to work in different areas, don't scroll up and then scroll down and scroll up and scroll down. Just use that split window function that you may or may not have known was available. So I'll go ahead and close this. Back to Visual Studio. Again, being a fan of the keyboard, not using the mouse, did you know that you can cycle through all of your open tool windows by using Alt F6? So Alt F6 just put me to Solution Explorer. Now it just put me down to Find Results. Now I'm in Call Hierarchy. Now I'm in my Get Supplier, Data Sources. And then, of course, Shift goes backwards, right? Alt Shift F6 goes to the previous tool window. And you know, so you can navigate to where you want, again, without having to pick up the mouse. Most of the tool windows also have dedicated keyboard shortcuts, like Control-Alt-L gets you to Solution Explorer. Control-Alt-O is the output window. And so if you're really interested in these keyboard shortcuts to dramatically increase your productivity, you'll want to make sure that you pick them up. I'll show you one last tip. This one is a biggie, and it's something that I didn't know for the longest time. I'm using my keyboard only, so I'm in Solution Explorer, and you'll notice at the top of Solution Explorer, I have a menu up here of icons, and I'm just simply using my mouse as a pointer to show you where to focus. You can access that little toolbar or the internal tool window icon bar, right? Not the main one at the top, but the one inside, from the keyboard by doing Shift-Alt. So watch what happens on my keyboard. Shift-Alt, and then I, whoops. Getting a file here. Shift-Alt puts a box around my home screen, and now left and right arrow keys will let me select those particular items. So here's Refresh. Here is Show the Preview menu, which we'll look at in a moment. So Shift-Alt will set focus to that little tiny icon bar, again, without having to pick up your mouse to do a click. One thing that we had going on the screen earlier, just to let everybody know, there's no mics for question and answer. We're going to stay after a little bit. If you're on Twitter, you have the ability to use that Dev353 tag, and I'll monitor that as we go if you have questions. So just thought I'd throw that back out there again, and I'll hand it over to Dustin to talk about search.
All right. So search in Visual Studio 2012 was something, again, we kind of went after as a key theme, sort of like similar to how we did the simplification piece. And so the first thing I want to show, Scott showed it very quickly, was this quick launch piece of Visual Studio. This is something we wanted to add for a long time. It was the notion of, yes, I can search files, I can search source code, but can I actually search my IDE for relevant things? And so we added quick launch, which is Control Q. You see it up in the very top right corner. That puts my caret there, and I can just start typing for things like, if I, you know, we'll find things like menus, it'll find options pages, open files, titles, those sorts of things in here. Even NuGet packages you can search online for now with the latest updates to the NuGet package manager. And so I use this very often if I wanted to find something like, say, the line numbers options page, right? So I can just say line numbers, and I can get right there. Okay, if I press enter, it takes me right there. Now, If you know what you're looking for, very like what category of things you're looking for, if you're like, I don't want to see all of these menu items show up in here, I want it to be a little bit more focused on my search, I can filter that by pressing the at key, making an at symbol. And this gives me a list of shortcuts of kind of prefixes that I can add into this search. So if I wanted to search just options for line numbers, then I would only get the options pages. Right. Interestingly, I can also search now for NuGet packages from here, and I can search, say, if I wanted to add StyleCop to my NuGet, that would automatically bring up the NuGet package manager and go find that online for me, and I can just install it. So, Quick Launch is a great way to kind of search your entire IDE, for different functionality that often is just kind of hard to go find. I hate clicking through that options dialog every time I install Visual Studio to go find that line numbers option to turn it on. Now, we also added search to a lot of the tool windows that really needed search or filtering. The first one is the Solution Explorer. Solution Explorer, the keyboard shortcut, and if you notice at the top of the Solution Explorer, there is a search box now. The shortcut to get there is Control Comma. It's control semicolon. Control comma is a different search mechanism that we'll look at in a little while. So control semicolon puts this right here, and I can search, and it will then go ahead and filter that view down to just the items that contain my search term. Okay, Scott will show a little bit more with the Solution Explorer in a minute. But likewise, I can also search the Team Explorer by pressing control apostrophe. Okay, and on a US standard keyboard, those are right next to each other. So control semicolon, control apostrophe. So control apostrophe automatically focuses Team Explorer. Now I'm not connected to a project right now. This would allow me to search my work items. Okay, if I were connected to a team project. However, what's cool about this is that even if I'm not connected, it still focuses the Team Explorer. So I will use control semicolon and control apostrophe just to flip back and forth if I want to. Right, I can just sit here and very, very quickly, because they sit right next to each other naturally on the US standard keyboard. And so these are great shortcuts for just kind of getting around these windows. In addition, we've added search to the most requested tool windows that we would add search to. So for example, the error list now has a search box right here. There is no keyboard shortcut for that, because it's relatively rare you're going to go to search there. And if you do, you've probably already gone to the error list and you're looking at it and you've decided, I need to find something within this window. So there's no keyboard shortcut to go there. But another one that people have been asking for years, let me bring up a designer view, is the toolbox. Right, to be, you know, for a long time at Microsoft, we kind of lived in this fantasy land where people only use controls that we produced, right? And it turns out that's not the case, that people install controls from all of the vendors out there that are selling really excellent off-the-shelf, high-quality components. And so once you install all of those, Toolbox becomes, less inviting. Perhaps just very full of controls. And so we need to add a search mechanism or a filtering mechanism so that you could find the controls very quickly that you wanted to add. All right. And so we added that to the toolbox. In addition, we added to the reference manager. So add reference. I also want to point out that this is a new reference manager for Visual Studio 2012. We heard loud and clear that it was too slow for too long. Okay.
Very fast now.
It's very fast. And there is a search mechanism as well up in the top right corner. So you're kind of going to see this all throughout. In the top right corner in almost any window in Visual Studio, there's going to be a search bar. Now, the search bar, if that search bar is on a modal dialog, right, where it's just a dialog coming up and it's taking over kind of all of the keyboard input, there's a keyboard shortcut to get to that that search box. And to make it even easier for you, it's the same keyboard shortcut that would get me to the search box in Windows Explorer. And that keyboard shortcut is Control E. So if I'm in Windows Explorer, that takes me to my search, Control E. Okay. If I'm in a modal dialog in Visual Studio, Control E takes me to that search. Okay. So that's a good keyboard shortcut in general, because it's kind of a Windows convention that Control E will take you to the search bar. So that works for the reference manager, and I can use it and filter down to whatever assemblies or I want to add to my project. Now, that also appears on the new project dialog. So if I want to add a new project, that's Control-Shift-N. And Control-E will take me up to the search box, and I can search for projects that I want to find, right? So again, for new project, for adding a new file, that's Control N, same thing. There's the search box up there. If I want to add a new item to a project, which is Control Shift A, same thing. Control E is right there. Okay, so really trying to add search so that you can get to the items you're looking for faster. You have to do less mouse clicks. You can drive it with the keyboard and get your jobs done a lot faster.
Right. I'm no longer mad at the add references dialog, but I remember in Visual Studio 2010 being very mad.
We got
actually 2005, 2008, 2010.
I think it's when we became aware of Twitter. And we started seeing that because people would immediately tweet. They wouldn't go and file bugs on Microsoft Connect very often. But if they were waiting for the add references dialog to come up, you can bet they would make a tweet and send some hater tweet out. So very glad we addressed that.
This is the question that's just come in. I actually don't have an answer to this. I was hoping maybe you have something since you do some async coding.
Can you recommend any cool plugins to help write async code? Actually, no, I don't know of any very cool plugins today. There are. I know some of our some of the vendors that do some of the bigger products, like ReSharper and you know, with JetBrains or CodeRush with DevExpress or Just Code from Telerik, any of those kind of bigger productivity suites, I do know have some enhancements for at least giving you guidance for writing async code, because async code can be tricky to write. If you haven't checked out Lucian Wischik's talks here at TechEd, he's got another one tomorrow about writing async code. There are very subtle things about async, and I know that those particular tools, the ones I just called out, do have guidance to help at least spot problems and that sort of thing. So, all right.
Have you noticed with Visual Studio and the team and the community over the last couple of years starting to throw new features into this productivity tools package that can be installed out of band? What's the official name?
The Productivity Power Tools.
Productivity Power Tools. If you don't have those installed, you should do yourself a favor and install them because there's a lot of things that are added into the core product based on usability of those features that are kind of dry-runned or, I don't want to say beta, but just made available out of band on the product. So if you installed, for example, the productivity tools for Visual Studio 2010, you'll have had early access to a lot of the features that came in version 2012. So again, that's really easy to install from the Visual Studio menu. So what I want to do is jump into the Solution Explorer. This is something that we commonly are using on a very regular basis. In fact, I don't know if you can use Visual Studio without navigating through the Solution Explorer. It's basically the hierarchy of all the files that you are dealing with. So in 2012, we introduced a lot of multi-monitor support. And it's kind of hard to get that going on a single screen. So what I'm going to do is dock Visual Studio over here and pretend that that is monitor one. Then I'm going to tear off a file and dock it on the right side and pretend that that is monitor two.
How did you dock those with a keyboard, by the way?
Good point. I did that a little bit earlier with the Windows key. You can take a file and dock it with the Windows left and right, and also up and down, up to maximize, down to minimize. So if you just do Windows right, it'll continue to cycle through all of the stages. So I'm glad Dustin brought that up because that shows you we have first-class support for multi-monitoring systems. And Solution Explorer actually has a new feature that you may or may not have known about called scoping or creating a second instance. So let's look at this particular portion of the Solution Explorer under Demo. And if I right-click, there's a menu item here to say New Solution Explorer View. And this is very handy for me. I do a lot of web development. So I might have a scripts folder, and I'm only working in that scripts folder. But that's part of a much larger, bigger solution with lots of projects. And if I just want to see those 13 or 14 files, you can get a New Solution Explorer View. And then using our full support for monitoring, you can actually dock that on your second or third monitor. So you have multiple instances of Solution Explorer. You can create as many as you want, and you can scope them to a folder Or if you didn't know, you can also scope them. This is one of my favorite features. You can scope them to open files. So you probably have a solution like mine. I think I have 20 projects in my main solution. And I might be working with 15 files at a time that are scattered all over the place. And again, in Solution Explorer, you're scrolling up, you're scrolling down. But if you filter Solution Explorer to only show you the open files, let me actually close that and show you on this screen here. Control bracket O shows me only the open files that are in scope of that particular window pane. The reason it wasn't showing me any before is because I was scoped to the demo project, and then none of those files were open in the second window. So that feature is actually working. It just showed up empty, which was not good for the demo. So also new in the Solution Explorer, you have the ability to navigate into the file. So instead of just going to the C# file, you can, let me turn my zoom off here. Let's turn off our second monitor, or our faux second monitor as well. Windows up to maximize. And now if I'm looking at a particular file, I can actually drill in to the types. So if you're looking to get to a specific part of a file, and you're using Solution Explorer to do that, you don't have to stop at the file name. You can actually drill in a little bit further. One of my other features that I like is track active file to Solution Explorer. So again, if you have a long Solution Explorer and you're moving through different documents, there is a way that you can synchronize your Solution Explorer automatically. So up in the Quick Lunch, I can do projects, which will open the projects and solutions. And this particular feature right here says track active item in Solution Explorer. If you don't have that tracked, there's a keyboard shortcut that you can use to synchronize. Do you remember what that is?
That is Control Left Square Bracket S.
Control Left Square Bracket S makes perfect sense, right? Did you come up with that one?
No, but all the commands you've shown in Solution Explorer, a lot of them start with that
control
Left Square Bracket. So the filtering one. So if you want to filter to the open file, it's Control Left Square Bracket O, for example.
So track active item in Solution Explorer is the one thing. So one last thing, real quick. Here is one of my favorite features of all of Solution Explorer. And it's this little guy right here, Collapse All. I use this on a very regular basis. And one of the nice things about it is if you then come back over here, it will expand because I have tracking on to Solution Explorer. It'll basically collapse all of my Solution Explorer except for what's active. And then I can kind of see the scope of what I'm working on again.
And if I recall, that was the one you were asking me if there was a way to add a keyboard shortcut for. There isn't.
Dustin, why is your phone ringing at 2 o'clock in the morning? So it's me on the other line. I'm doing a tips and tricks talk. Is there a way I can bind a keyboard shortcut to collapse all? And the answer is no. You cannot bind a keyboard shortcut to collapse all. However, in digging through that source code is where we found the Shift-Alt, which will let you get there with the keyboard. And now I can do it from the keyboard. I just can't bind a keyboard shortcut because there's some marker interface or something didn't happen with that particular item, so it's not available in the keyboard binding.
We call that a bug.
Oh, yeah. No. That's built that way on purpose. So let's get back to the Power Deck. And we'll talk a little bit about navigation.
Now, we've been talking a lot about search and that sort of thing and kind of getting around the IDE, and especially through the tool windows. What I want to talk about now are navigation features, specifically when you know where you're going or you're trying to understand something, and specifically for source code. Okay. And so the first thing I want to show, let's flip back over to my laptop. The first thing I want to show is actually that simplified navigation that I showed much earlier, where up in the top left corner you have these, up in the top left corner you have these navigate backward and forward commands, and these work as I'm working. I'm moving my caret around my file right now, and if I go up here and drop this down, I'll see all the places I've been. All right, and it's very easy for me to press control minus to go backwards through those, and I can also press control shift minus to go forwards again. And so that's control minus and control shift minus. Now, if I'm sitting on a piece of code, most people know F12. Everybody use the keyboard shortcut F12? Yeah, a lot of the room. That's go to definition, right? That's the thing that when I'm on something in my code that I actually need to see how it's defined, I can press F12 just to go there, right? And so, for example, if I'm on this game service here, I can press F12, and it takes me to that game service. Notice that as a new feature of Visual Studio 2012, it opened it up in a preview tab. If you look at the very top of the document well up here, you'll see that instead of opening it up with the rest of the documents, it's opened it up in this custom, this special tab on the right. And it's done that because often what will happen is you'll start in a previous versions of Visual Studio, you start doing F12, or you start debugging and stepping into files, and it's opening up all these files. And now you've got 100 files open, and you don't remember what you were working on. And so with the preview tab, you have a low-cost way of kind of looking at this file without really committing to it yet. And so if I wanted to continue to browse around, I could press F12, and it will still open up in that preview tab. Okay. And if I want to keep this, I can press that button and keep it open, and pin it if I like. We call that promotion. But that's really a great feature for keeping your document tab well clean and organized, and just with the things that you're working on. So let's press F12 a couple more times here. One of the things I just showed right now. This is actually. A metadata, a source view. I've pressed F12 on something that we don't have source code for. It's not in this project. And it created for us not the actual source code, but something that looks like the source code, sort of a view of that type or of that member. And this is a really interesting feature because you can start going in through the framework. And so I can do this on string and see sort of what string looks like, right? Now, I showed you earlier that we have this simplified navigation, control minus, control shift minus, to kind of navigate back and forward. There's also a navigation stack specifically for GoToDefinition. It has keyboard shortcuts that are remarkably undiscoverable. That's control shift 8 and control shift 7. There's no reason you would ever know that, except that they're also bound to the back and forward buttons on your mouse. Okay, and so you can press Control Shift 8 and just navigate backwards and forwards through the things I've done a go to definition on. All right, now the opposite of go to definition is Shift F12. So we have F12, and often with keyboard shortcuts in Visual Studio, if you want to do the opposite action, add Shift to that keyboard combination is probably the keyboard shortcut. For example, Scott showed how to navigate through tool windows, cycle through them with Alt F6, and it was Shift Alt F6 that took you backwards. Shift F12 is kind of the reverse of go to definition, and that's find all references, find me all the places where this is used. So if I press Shift F12 here, it'll show me my source code, where all the places where that's used. Now, this brings up the find symbol results window because there are several results. If I want to navigate that with the keyboard, even if it doesn't have focus, so let me, I have it pinned there. Even if it doesn't have focus, I can navigate it by pressing F8. And start moving around through the items in that list.
That is really helpful. I use that constantly.
And of course, Shift F8 takes you backwards because that's what Shift does. It takes you backwards. Now, added in Visual Studio 2010, perhaps the best feature added, only because I worked on it, was a feature called Navigate 2. And that is Control Comma. Right?
That one you did come up with, right?
What's that?
The control comma.
Yes, I did come up with control comma. Control comma is great because it's right next to another keyboard shortcut that is important to take away from the session we'll talk about a little bit later, control dot, control period. But control comma brings up this dialog that allows you to find items in your entire solution, files and members and types. And so if I just want to find things that have view model on the title, for example, I can search for it very quickly, find what I'm looking for, press enter, and go there. Okay. Now, it does have some nice features that I can press space and add additional search terms. And there's some power user features. So, for example, if I know exactly what I'm looking for, like I want main window view model, I could just type the capital letters of the words that are kind of compressed into that identifier, right? So there's capital letters, main window view model. And so I could just type capital M, W, view, M, and get right there as well. Okay, so if I know exactly what I'm looking for, I could do the same thing with VM, just looking for view model. So this is a feature that we added in Visual Studio 2010, and it is is a lifesaver for getting around the solution. It's also, and so this is kind of, we're getting into the place where we have some functions that, some features that are very similar to other features. So this is very similar to the Solution Explorer search as well, right? And that's why control comma and control semicolon, if you kind of squint at control semicolon and control comma, they kind of look really similar, and that's why we did them like that, right? And so so that you could kind of keep that in mind, that comma is what takes you to kind of the searching through your solution.
Nice.
All right? Yeah.
So a couple questions that have come in based on what we talked about. Is it possible to scope multiple projects in Solution Explorer only showing 3 out of 10? My answer is not that I know of.
I think if you added those projects, now this is not a great solution. This may, because it does force you to kind of change things up a little bit. I think if you add those projects to a solution folder, and then you could right-click on the solution folder and scope to that, I believe you could.
But it, so maybe.
It's, but it's, it might be a little awkward and not the ideal solution. So.
Second question, if I screwed up my toolbars, how do I reset it with Visual Studio? Inside, you can't actually do this. If you go to the quick launch and just type reset, you'll get an option here to reset your window layout. And that will do exactly what it says. It will reset all of the window layouts back to how it came in the box.
Well, does that actually affect the toolbars, or is that just Windows?
I think it's the toolbar, because it moves my Solution Explorer back to the right-hand side.
Right, but does it actually affect the any toolbar customizations, I think?
Right. I read that as tool windows. You're correcting me as toolbar.
If you meant tool windows, this is the way I do it. If you meant toolbars, you can go to import, right? Import and reset settings, I believe. Yeah. Import and export settings. And if you click on this option, there is an option there to reset all settings, and that'll allow you to kind of reset back to kind of factory defaults, right? It's kind of like a hard reset on your phone or something like that.
But be careful with that. That's going to reset your keyboard bindings.
Yep.
It's going to reset everything. In fact, somebody else has an applicable comment on that that I may have not touched on, and that is this particular guy here. Not all keyboard shortcuts are the same. It depends on your keyboard layout. That's correct.
Yep, that's true.
We are doing the talk today assuming that you have selected the C-sharp keyboard layout tricks. But if you've selected Visual Basic, the keyboard bindings are still there. They're just slightly varied. And that's because of the upgrade paths of the languages have
right.
just used different keyboard shortcuts. So that's a great comment. Thank you for bringing
that up. Thanks for reminding us. We are using the C-sharp settings. Okay.
And last thing. Oh, no. That was it. So let's get back over to the next slide, which is cool code editor tricks. So now I'm actually coding. And again, I might be screen sharing with somebody. So I'm going to show you some features we have around zooming. Multi-line editing, which is a great feature that's been there forever and ever and ever. Or box select has been there forever. Editing came in version 10. And then highlighting preferences, call hierarchy, and such. So the first thing is zoom. You probably know that with your mouse, you can control zoom out and control wheel scroll up, right? So that's really easy to get going. One thing that's a pain, particularly if you're, so I use this a lot if I'm on a call and I'm looking at somebody else's code or sharing their code and I want the code to be bigger. When you go to the next tab, it's back to 12-point font. Have any of you ever run into that? You bump the font up, but it doesn't do everyone. So native in Visual Studio, the zoom is per document. There is a plugin called Trout Zoom, which I already have installed. It's extensions and updates installed for Trout. There it is. And what it does is it takes the zooming feature and it makes it work across all documents as well as new documents that open. So that's just a little thing that's out there in the Extension Explorer that I have plugged in that I really like. If you don't have a mouse, you don't want to zoom, you can do it from the keyboard as well. So on your keyboard, you have greater than and less than signs. And I tell you this to visualize so you can remember. Greater than means get bigger. Less than means get smaller. So Control-Shift greater than will bump up your font size. Watch this. Control shift. Well, control shift greater than goes bigger, and control shift less than gets smaller. So if I made a mistake, you'll visualize that on your keyboard. Less than goes tiny, greater than gets bigger. And so that's something that I use on a regular basis. We also have something called multi-line select. So let's pretend that this is your code, and you've typed this code, or you're code reviewing someone else's code, and you've seen this duplication, and you have decided that this should not be 2010, but instead should be 2005. This is what most of you do. And everyone else pulls their hair out. You're like, come on already. Watch this. Oh, mistake. So that's called multi-line editing. How many of that is new to you? So if you select text, you do that with the shift key, right? Shift, left, 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 highlights and selects an item. If you and you could also do that with the mouse. Shift, drag and drop will increase your selection. If you introduce the Alt key, you can do box select. So now if I do Shift Alt, I can go left, 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 down, down, down. And now my insertion point is on multi-line. So as I type, it affects more than one line. You also have things like copy paste that work correctly when you cut something and then paste it appropriately. So if I Shift Alt Select, Control X, then just go down to the bottom of the file and paste, you'll see it knows how to paste in multi-line. So I'll just Control Z to get back out of that. Multi-line editing.
Yep.
Very, very helpful. Go ahead.
No, I had nothing. That's great. It was added in Visual Studio 2010. So, but box selection, the actual act of selecting a box, has been there since InterDev, I believe, actually.
So I actually use this a lot if I'm editing like an XML file and I have a whole bunch of attributes that are the same. You can do a box select very easily navigate through them. So let's make my code a little bit smaller. I'm trying to find a different file that's better for this next version or next demo here. It's not a good file. Demo. Oh, here we go. So here I have a word calendar. And this is also something that I very frequently use. If you know that calendar is used throughout this class file, but maybe it's 20 lines down, you can hold the Control Shift key, and then it will highlight all of the instances of that item. And now you can do up and down arrow to alternate through them. This is kind of a terrible example because it's only on two lines. Here, I'll make this a better example.
You could do it on the types, too.
And as well on the type. So if you hold Control Shift, it will highlight that instance for you, as well as all the type usages, and let you quickly navigate to them. Another one that I use is what I call instant search. So you guys know context search, right? If I press Control F, calendar system is automatically injected into the find dialog. But did you know that Control F3 is auto search that says find this again? So watch this. Control F3 just goes to the next item. And then, of course, Shift F3 takes you to the previous item. So if I let's go down to another example.
Try
here's
assert. That appears a lot.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So Control F3, not Control F enter, but just Control F3 takes me to that item. And now I can navigate through all of the assertions in that particular file. So I call that instant search. This next one you're really going to want to stick around for. You're going to love this because every one of us falls into this trap 5 or 6 times a day. Here's what I'm going to do. I know that it's bad to copy and paste code, but I really need this line of code in another place in my document. So I'm going to highlight it and press Control C, which is something a lot of us do. Control Tab over to a new document, and I'm going to navigate to that special place where I want to paste my code, and I'm going to paste that by pressing Control C again. Oh! What just happened to my clipboard? But look at this.
Yes. Look at
Control Shift V is something that will let you cycle through your clipboard. So let me do this again. Control C, paste, and then Control Paste will let me get those old items back. So let me start from scratch to show you this. So here's my line that I want to Control C to copy. Then I come down here and I press Control C again, which copies the blank line. And now if I Control Shift V, it will paste that particular item. Specific argument out of range. This is Dustin's fault.
Yeah, this may it's not my fault.
So, but
I think it's because you've copied a perfectly empty line.
Right, but now that you know how it works, it's called multi-paste or clipboard ring. And so watch how useful it is. Hang on, stop. So I now am in this file where I not only need to paste one line, but two lines to another document. So I'm on line 30 where I'm going to copy the date time, and then I'm on line 38 where I'm going to copy the assertion. Now I can go to another file, and when I do a paste, that's the last thing on my stack, but if I do a Control Shift V, it will cycle through and give me all of them. So in fact, if I Control Shift V, it will continue through that clipboard ring to paste multiple items. This is a feature that was introduced in Visual Studio 2005. So earlier, who had their hands up for 2005? One, two in the front. You guys have a special feature that none of the rest of us have. In Visual Studio 2005.
It was in 2008 too, but go ahead.
Oh, there you go, correction. So in the old versions of Visual Studio, there's a clipboard ring visualizer. And on the view menu, you can say view clipboard ring, and it shows you a toolbar of all the things that you have copied on your clipboard. So anyway, with that, we'll head back to some more tips and tricks on writing code. Control Shift V is that big shortcut that that you want to look for there.
All right, so we are going to spend some time now actually in the editor doing what most of us do a lot, I think, is actually writing code inside Visual Studio. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about things that are near and dear to my heart, things that I work on and think about quite a bit in my time. So the first thing I want to talk about is really with IntelliSense, okay, and some tricks with using IntelliSense. One of the key design principles in IntelliSense is that it shows you things that are declared. Right, it shows you things that are already there, that are in scope that you can use. Right, and so if I press Control J, it gives me an IntelliSense window with literally everything. Right, everything that is in scope in my using directives and the assemblies that I've referenced and the projects that I've referenced. Right, it's not entirely helpful, but as you type, you know, IntelliSense in prior versions of Visual Studio before Visual Studio 2010 would sort of just kind of like start changing the selection to find the match with what you typed in the editor. With Visual Studio 2010, we joined the 20th century of IDEs, or the 21st century of IDEs, rather, and the list now filters. Okay, and it filters down here to everything that has the word console in it. Oh, whoops, that actually made it go away. But the cool thing about this, I think, is something that's very subtle, is in how we do that search. Okay. We don't want to just kind of randomly throw things in in the filter if they just happen to have some text that matches, right? We do it a little bit smarter than that. We take each item in IntelliSense and split it into kind of its logical words, right? So places where there's a capital letter, if you're writing in a Pascal case or if it's a camel case identifier, places where the capital letters are, that's a natural word boundary. Also, if you write with underscores between the identifiers, for example, that would be another natural word boundary. And so we are only searching those word boundaries. Essentially, it's a kind of a prefix search across those words. So let me show you what that looks like. So if I pick console here and I type line, well, that's going to find me read line and write line, okay, because of this smart search. But if I type DLI, for example, it's not going to match read line. So it's not just going to kind of randomly give you, because that would give you some results that, frankly, you weren't looking for, right? It's just not how we think. And so the filtering is a little bit smarter. One other feature of the filtering, kind of for the power user again. This is something, you know, that I showed in Navigate 2, where if I typed the capital letters that started those words, it would filter down to those. And that's the same thing. So if I really want to get to read line fast, I hold the Shift key, type RL, and I get to read line immediately. All right? Now, there are some drawbacks with IntelliSense kind of only showing you things that are declared. Because IntelliSense is fairly aggressive, right? It shows you the things that are declared. It selects them, gives you kind of a hard selection, and then when you press commit character, it's going to insert that, right, in the editor. And if you're using a style of development that doesn't, that like where you write your code before you actually go and make those declarations, actually reify those declarations. For example, if I'm doing test-driven development, where I might decide to define a class called customer, but actually I'm going to write the test first, and I'm going to use the code in my test. I'm going to, you know, maybe I'll construct a customer before I've actually gone out and defined what that customer class looks like. And in those cases, IntelliSense can get in the way. This aggressive mode of IntelliSense. And so this is kind of the canonical example where I'm in a test fixture called customer tests, and I want to go ahead and declare customer. And so I type customer, and then I press space, and of course, IntelliSense inserts customer tests because IntelliSense is a jerk, right? it's not being very friendly right here. Now, there is a very subtle feature where if you undo that, IntelliSense will give you the code that would have been inserted in the editor had IntelliSense not committed. So if I press Control Z, it actually gives me customer plus a space, right? So it's kind of the thing that would have gone into the editor if IntelliSense had it committed. But it's kind of irritating to be typing all the time and hitting Control Z because IntelliSense is not actually working in your favor. So the way to do this is in Visual Studio 2010 is with the mode we introduced for IntelliSense called suggestion mode. And by default, IntelliSense is in a mode we call completion mode, where it's actively completing items as you type. But in suggestion mode, it doesn't do that. So I'm going to press Control-Alt-Space. That puts me into suggestion mode. And now, when I type customer here, you notice that there's this little box at the top of the IntelliSense window that's changing as I type. And it's showing the identifier that's in the editor. Also, a little bit more subtle, the item that it's suggested, it's still showing the same list below that that would have been suggested in completion mode, doesn't have a hard yellow selection on it, right, or a hard selection on it. It's just outlined, right, indicating that the, when you press a commit character, whether it's space or if I were to press dot or something like that, something that would have committed IntelliSense, it's actually not going to insert that item that's selected down there. So let me just show you the contrast of what that looks like. So if I bring up customer here, now you see, okay, it's a hard blue selection. It's definitely going to be inserted. But if I'm in suggestion mode, Control-Alt-Space, that's not the case. Okay? And so when I press space, it doesn't cost me anything. There's also a toolbar button up here that shows that kind of gives you the state of what mode you're in, whether you're in completion mode or suggestion mode, and there's the keyboard shortcut as well. All right. Now, also for consume-first development, added a couple of features to IntelliSense to make this a little bit easier, right? So for example, in this case, customer is not declared yet, but if I want to new it up on the right side, we certainly show customer in the IntelliSense list down here, right? So customer shows up, and I can go ahead and just accept that, right? So some features to IntelliSense to show things that actually don't exist because it's actually helpful to this style of development. All right, now this is one of the big keyboard shortcuts that if you only go away with a couple, this is one of those keyboard shortcuts for productivity. This one is Control Dot. So you see the little smart tag, the little blue rectangle? Let me zoom in so you can see a little bit more clearly. This guy right here, that thing that you hate because it's impossible to hover over with a mouse and hit successfully, right?
Don't use your mouse.
Don't use your mouse, right? Well, the keyboard shortcut to bring that up when it appears on screen is Control Dot. Okay, or control period on your keyboard. So I bring that up. It gives me an option to generate a class called customer. I press enter and I go. And so I can just very quickly with the keyboard drive that smart tag. And this is also another feature that we added for test-driven development and consume-first development, just generating from usage, looking at the usage of my source code, how I'm using these types and members that aren't declared yet, and giving options on how I might want to actually generate some boilerplate code for you. So that generated a class called customer over here. And actually, if I want to go ahead and dock that in Visual Studio on the left, I can go ahead and start using this now. I can say, well, let's give it a name like Scott, right? And again, there's a smart tag. Press Control Dot, generate a property, right? We could give it another method. We could say, like, what do I want to do to Scott? Inoculate. Right? We can generate a method for that very quickly. So it's always control dot. I'm not using my mouse. I'm not trying to find that little tiny rectangle and hover over it just exactly the right way. Pressing control dot will bring that up. Smart tags appear in other cases as well. So if I'm on a declaration of something, I don't know. Maybe I want to put something
like
here.
Like a new string builder will bring in system.string.
Well, no, actually, if I'm on a declaration of something and I want to rename it, right? And so I just type a new name. Inoculate seems a little
harsh.
You're a good friend. Let's see. Do something else like torture, mame maybe. All right. And there's a smart tag immediately offering me a suggestion to go ahead and rename all references to that as well. So if I press enter here, you see back on the left side, it went ahead and it renamed it as well. That's another place where smart tags appear. One other place where smart tags will show up that's critical, I think, to development, in my style of development, is that when I'm using exclusively Visual Studio, is a feature for adding using directives at the top of the file. Right? So if I want to use something in a namespace that I don't have a using directive for yet, for example, if I wanted to use something from system.io, I could use the type. So for example, maybe I type file here. And that actually isn't there yet. I don't have a using directive for system.io, but I can press control dot, add the using immediately, and carry on with whatever it was I was doing. Okay, and so that's a really important feature with control dot to add a using directive. The key there is you have to type the type precisely. You can't just type it all lowercase; it won't find it. That's right. Something I'd like to improve, but it's not improved today. And one final thing before you switch me over is. Removing and sorting those using directives as well. So I can, in Visual Studio, I can right-click. These aren't bound to shortcuts, but I have options to remove unused usings, sort usings, and remove and sort. And so I can do this to very quickly clean up the using directives to only the things that appear in my file. There is an extension called Power Commands. If you don't like to do that regularly, I actually hate right-clicking and doing that. Power Commands adds an options page where you can choose to sort and organize usings and also format your file on save, right? And so and that's a really, really good extension to have if you find yourself just being very irritated by right-clicking and choosing that option.
Nice.
Yeah.
So real quick on Twitter, somebody gave us this tip. If you right-click on the toolbars, you can click
Yes.
Customize, reset. Sometimes the easiest things you forget.
Yep.
So I wanted to throw that in there. Also, this guy asked the perfect question, is there a shortcut to attach debugger to a process? And in fact, there is. So I've saved what I think is the best for last. I'm going to go through some debugging tips. I think what makes us all great developers is the ability to be a great debugger. And you're writing code. Things not going to work the first time every time. You're going to need to step through your code or maybe somebody else's code. And so what I want to do is just give you a quick little tour into some debugging tips and tricks. So while Dustin was chatting, I threw together some silly code. It's meaningless, it doesn't mean anything, but it will let us navigate. I'm gonna take off all of my breakpoints, and the very first thing I wanna do is blow your mind. I wanna show you something that you've more than likely never seen before. Take a look at line 21.
Setting expectations here.
This is going high, I'm going big to finish up. I want to run this program, and I want to stop on line 21. What do you press? F9 is the long, hard, slow way. Instead, there's a way you can just run this program and say, Visual Studio, stop right where my cursor is. Holy cow, how did you do that? Control F10 is the keyboard shortcut that says run to cursor. And if you're not currently running, it'll start the debugger, execute your code, and stop on that line. And I use that constantly. So watch this. If I come down to, I want to stop on line 25, Control F10 will just execute to that point. So you don't have to litter your code with breakpoints to stop at a next line.
And this is an old command. Okay,
this
has
been
there
forever.
For years and years. It's just
okay.
Very rarely used.
Hold on to your seats. Watch the screen. Watch what happens. Are you ready? Back in time. Instead of ending the program, I've gone up and I'm going to execute the same code again. So let me do that from the keyboard again. Control F10 moves forward. You also have this little yellow guy over here. Watch this. You can change your execution point. Now be careful, this has side effects. This may or may not do what you think it's going to do. Your variable values are not going back in time, unless you're using IntelliTrace, that's something different. This is simply saying, run the code again. And a lot of people don't know you can change that execution point. Very helpful for debugging. Maybe you've stepped into something and now you need to see it again because you missed one of those options. You can shift F11 to go back to the parent and then F11 to go back in. So I gave you a couple of keyboard shortcuts. Control F10 is run to cursor. Control Shift F10 is change execution point. That's how you go up. Just like we've said before, the shift key goes backwards. Now, I've written a line of code here, line 23. Let me make this a little bit bigger. Shift-Alt-Enter goes to full screen and undock my properties. Line 23 is a console write line, and it calls into two methods. This is very common in your coding. When you're debugging, in particular, you want to get from line 23 down to line 35. But it's two methods away, right? Because you have method calls as your parameters to console write line. Last biggest tip trick, watch this, watch this screen. Instead of just pressing, let me make sure my execution point is there, Control F10 gets me to line 23. Most of you do F11, Shift F11, F11, that's the F11 dance, right? Shift F11 back and forth. Introduce the Alt key, watch my screen. Alt Shift F11 is step into specific. It steps into all of the members that you have on that particular line. So I can go straight to executing that particular line, and now Shift F11, of course, comes back. So there's a lot of things you can do to become a better developer, but I really think the core thing that you can do to make yourself a better developer is learn the keyboard shortcuts around keyboard binding for debugging. And they're all F9, F10, F11. You should master all of them. And there's all kinds of Alt-Shift combinations, but F9, F10, and F11 is definitely something that should be in your arsenal. So let's wrap up real quick with temporary projects. And then before you're out, I've got one last thing.
All right, so temporary projects. How many people in here, just a kind of a quick show of hands, have console application 1 up to about console application 100 on your in your projects folder at any one time?
Perfect.
Because you've tried something out, right? I really dislike that, and especially as someone that works on the languages team, I'm always trying something out. Does C# actually do this or whatever? And so I'm actually usually going from 1 to maybe 1,000 in my projects folder. If you want to stop Visual Studio from doing that, there is a feature called temporary projects. Actually, let me just go to the options, to the quick launch. And what is this?
Projects.
Save. Projects and solutions general, right?
Yep.
Oh, it's just right down there. Projects. And on the general options page, there is an option right here that's checked by default. Right here. Save new projects when created. Okay. If I uncheck that, it will stop saving my projects in the projects folder.
Instead, I love this feature. This is so
instead,
great.
Instead, it will create it in a temporary way, in a kind of a temporary folder in my app data somewhere. And so I can create, say, a console application. Actually, let me do that one more time. And because right now it's telling me, do you want to save this project? Because it didn't actually save it yet. It's in this temporary place in my app data local somewhere. And I say, you know what? I want to discard this. What I want to show you that's different here is in this dialog, the thing that's missing is...
You know, disk.
Solution name, right? I'm not actually going to create something until where it's going to go. It's just going to create a project for me, kind of a scratch project.
Throwaway code.
Play around in here. And as soon as I do something that might want to trigger, actually putting it on disk in a proper location, like save all files or add a second project or things like that, this will then promote it to a full project, save it on your disk. But you can stop having console application 1 up to forever. So
that's our talk. What do you guys think? Good? You liked it?
So useful?